حضرت مفتی عبد القادر صاحب, السلام علیکم و رحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. Once again for the second point of our program, inshallah, which is the question and answer. May Allah Ta'ala grant Mufti Saab great help and great help, inshallah. Mufti Saab, the first question that I have for you this morning is, what is the sunnah practices after nikah when you meet your wife for the first time?
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيكم وسلم كريم and أبا and جزاك الله خيرا to Junaid Mutta and his other half. He doesn't call her أبا, he calls her other half. You see that, his other half. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. So first lesson, O people, O listeners of Radio Al Ansar International, Markaz Sahaba, you should learn. So yesterday I got married, example, now I'm didn't get married, nothing, example. So yesterday I got married, so last night I was alone with my wife. So what you going to call that night, your wedding night? So write down, ulama students, you call it Laylatul Zifaf, you call it Laylatul Bina. So these are the two terms we use in the Arabic language. Sheikh Nasiruddin Albani, rahimahullah, wrote a wonderful book on this, Adabu Laylati Zifaf, which I have by me. So then we will learn from there. Now write down, yesterday we had, you understand, tafsir. So now some masla came. So I told them that you, husband and wife, must read salat. So the one brother asked, who will give the iqamat? The wife. No, no, man. The husband will give the iqamat, not the wife. So now you, husband and wife, you're alone now. So everything now is smart and you're admiring one another. So now husband in front and the wife at the back. And the husband will give iqamah and you read salat. You're starting a new stage, a new phase in your life. The hadith in Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba. You don't have to read long, long surahs, Yasin and Tabarak. You read any two short surahs, it's fine. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ after Fatiha. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّا أَعْتَيْنَا after Surah Fatiha. So that's first thing you're going to do. Second thing you're going to do, oh Habi, you grave a Kruger coin, you see that 40,000 rand Mahare Fatimi, for example. So now give us some rokura, give us some cash. Oh honey, take this money, you see that? So that also is Sunnah, hadith in Musnad Ahmad. He Habibuna Mustafa Rahmatul Lil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave Mother Aisha Siddiq a milk for Shariba Labana, and they drank the milk. You see that on the wedding night when she came to stay with the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Madina Munawwara. Two. Third one, you sprinkle water. Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma fiha wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha. Hadith in Musannaf Abdul Razak. So you will take some water, little but not bucket now, just little bit, and you just sprinkle on the forelocks, on the forehead and all that, so that she don't blow her gasket and so forth, and don't make too much noise, so you cool her down on the wedding night. And you, the wife, you will tell your hubby, you come here, take off your topi. Sometimes the husband is kalkop, he don't have any hair, so you just put nice water there, so he mustn't get so angry. And you know, men, sometimes they do upside down things, but they want to blame the wife. So you sort all that out, you put the radiator for him, little bit nice water, and you read for one another. Ya Allah, all the good quality he or she has, let us share it. All the weaknesses they have, Ya Allah, protect one another, protect me, protect him. See, beautiful. And not only for the wedding night, Junaid Mota, whenever you go into your wife for conjugal relationship, so you got 8-course meal, 9-course meal, and the last course is intercourse, so you must remember that hadith in Bukhari Sharif. So Bismillah, you see, everything that's permissible, we take Allah's name first. Allahumma jannibna shaitan. Ya Allah, put Satan, Lucifer, shaitan far away from us, from husband, wife. And then you are the ones who complain your children are disrespectful and gustach here and rebellious and so forth, bear adab here. So, but did you read the dua when you went to your spouse? Bismillahi Allahumma jannibna shaitan وَجَنِّبِ الشَّيْطَانَ مَا زَقَتَنَا. And then, Ya Allah, save us and save our children also from the assault and impact, the negative impact of Satan, Shaitan, Lucifer. Hadith Bukhari Sharif. So whenever husband, wife, today, just you understand, bang, wham, thank you, ma'am, business. So we can't be bled of kuffar, we Muslim. We must know what Quran Sharif teaches us, what Sunnah Mubarakah teaches us. Then Allah will make one in her, and then make one nice dua. Habi, wife, learn the dua from now. Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Ya Allah, grant us such spouses and such children and progeny that are the coolness of the eyes. Kinayatun anis surur. That means, Ya Allah, our whole marital life, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, must be a long, long honeymoon. Today, people go to M3, 3M. They go to Mauritius. They go there to Malaysia. They go to Maldives. And after 1 week, 10 days, 2 weeks, they're back. The moon also is missing, and the honey also is missing. So we don't want that shaitan yet. I didn't say honeymoon is permissible. I'm telling you what happens nowadays is not permissible. So anyway, so these are the sunnah. Every sunnah you practice of Mustafa Rahmat للعالمين صلى الله عليه وسلم إن كنتم تحبون الله. If you really love all, may Allah جل وعلا فاتبعوني. Follow me صلى الله عليه وسلم immaculately. يحببكم الله. You become the beloved of all, may Allah جل وعلا. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And then you, Allah will forgive you your sins. And don't forget to read your Isha Salat. Don't forget to read your Fajr Salat on time. People are sleeping, you see. Laylatul Arus. So the wedding night, sleep, sleep. Shaitan comes. Nam, nam, kanomatil Arus. Go open Mishkat Sharif. Sleep, sleep. The night is still young. By the time you wake up, it's already sunrise time. So we must know all these duties. Allah give us tawfiq. Then you will have a smooth life, inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, what is the masla of taking a nikah to Makkah or Medina and performing it there?
You're just wasting money and you're just doing it for name and fame and show and all that. I know some people perform nikah in Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara. They came back after 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, talak, everything. So what you're doing? You're just showing off. I told you the other day, Sahaba, Ashra Mubashara, they used to get married in Medina Munawwara. They would not even inform Nabi alayhi salatu salam. Marriage was something simple. You just get married, whoever is there, man hadara, you finish. Don't make all long preparations. And ask the person, why are you delaying for 6 months, 8 months? You say, we can't get a cook. We can't get the hall. We can't get this. All nonsensical stories, you must remember. Like there's only one hall in the whole country or one cook in the country to cook the meal and so forth. You see that? So all fairy tale excuses. The delaying at the swifu min shaitan. So the delay, procrastinating is from Satan and Shaitan and Lucifer. So me, I'm dead against all these things here. You must remember, no, meridate, bebeti, meridikri, meridadli, you're going to get married in Medina, tumane khabar che. So all this money you're spending, if you give it to the poor people, you should get much more reward. So we're not in favor of all this. Wherever you are, you perform the masjid, the nikah in the masjid. Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَعْلِنُ النِّكَاحِ وَاجْعَلُوهُ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Hadith in Tirmidhi. Announce the nikah. All of you who got nikah announcements this week, here, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, send it to us. Even now, Junaid Mota is waiting. 084-786-3132. And then Junaid Mota will send it to Mona Zahid Khan. Mona Zahid Khan, mashallah, till Friday morning between 10 and 10:30, he wears nikah announcements. We won't come to your nikah. We just announce it to revive the sunnah. But we, this is all just showing off, you must remember. It's not permissible.
Virtuous to marry divorced women and widows.
Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's entire life, remember, is Siratul Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah jalla wala states, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the life of the Master alayhi salatu salam, you have the perfect role model. So study Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, honorable wives. Majority of them were widows, majority of them were divorcees and so forth. So you marry them with the intention of sunnah and so forth. So very good. And remember, but you get married to bikr. If you get married to a virgin, then all the better. Go read Surah 33, Surah Ahzab, and verse 21. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 21. So yes, if you got married, you see that, I'll tell you personally, myself, I would not marry a widow or a divorcee who's got children. You understand? It just creates a lot of complications and all. Now you got children. See, you must look at the practical implications. So you got children, right? And now she comes with her children, Mera, Tera, Apna. Then they're going to start the third generation. So now I can, after consummating the marriage with her, so her daughters, I will be their mahram. Quran says that, right? وَرَبَائِكُمُ اللَّاتِي فِي حُجُورِكُم مِّن نِسَائِكُمُ اللَّاتِي دَخَلْتُم بِهِن But her daughters and my sons, so you must remember this parda compulsory between them. Now imagine you living in one house, how are you going to make the parda? It's very difficult. So you need to think before you ink. You need to look before you leap. Don't just jump like a mad thing, you understood? So you need to know all these implications as well. So therefore we say it's good, you get married to a divorcee, you get married to a widow, but if you got children, she got children, me, I'll discourage it. You must, because you know every day you'll be allowing vices and sins to continue, because between you and her daughters, there is no hijab after you consummated the marriage. Between her and your sons, there is no hijab. Between her children and your children from your previous marriages, there is hijab, it's compulsory. So how are you going to have it then? Very difficult it is. So therefore, you must think properly what you are doing. So best is Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Jabir radiallahu anhu, Halla tazawwajta bikran, why you didn't marry a virgin? He said, Ya Rasulallah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my father passed away. I have so many sisters. I should get married to a young lady. They all should just play together. So I married a little bit senior lady, and she's a matron, meaning sayyiba, not a virgin. And then she'll take care of them. The Master alayhi salam made dua for him. You see, Moka e Shanasi, Mardam Shanasi. You must know on which occasion what to say and how you say it to the person you are addressing.
Muftisab, when the son passes away, does the in-laws have any rights over the widow?
They don't have any rights. They will support her if she's down and out and there's no inheritance. So today what our people are doing most of the time is absolutely haram. So she passed away, right? I just give you an easy example. So now you must remember there is this lady here. So now, and she's got one son. We just make it easy, you see. So now, after burial expenses, then after the debts of the deceased, the personal debts, corporate business debts, all debt must be settled immediately. There's nothing like you must wait 40 days, 100 days. This is all our Indian delight and Indian stories, you see. Come from Palanpur, Saharanpur, and Chakmalpur, and Mirzapur, and all that, Kolvatpur, and Dabelpur. So all poor business, Puripatta business. Got nothing to do with Sharia debt. And you must pay immediately to the creditors and settle the debts. And third one, wasiyah, whether it was done verbally and there are witnesses or in writing documentary evidence to non-heirs. And it can be a person, organization, a non-Muslim, Tom, Dick or Mary, and maximum one-third of the net estate. And fourth one will be the shares of the heirs. So let's just take this now. So now he passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. My wife's nephew passed away, right? So now on Monday. So they went, she went with the nephew and all that. I didn't go, I had program to make dua. So anyway, so in a case like that, so we just break it up a little bit. So now, so he passed away. Ahmad, Allah, Ta'mona, Ismail's son, Allah grant them all Jannatul Firdaus. Mona as such brother. So Allah grant him all Jannat al-Firdaus. So let's just say example that he left now, he was survived by his wife. So wife share 12.5%. And the say the parents are alive. So he, the deceased parents are alive. So they will get 1/6, 1/6. So 1/3 is gone there. So 1/3 and now the residue will go to the son or sons, or to the son and daughter, ratio 2:1. So that is what you must ensure happens and so forth. She is a lady and maybe her children are small, and now you want to manipulate it. How many times this kind of matters come to us? You see that now that father-in-law, mother-in-law, the deceased parents, they want to deprive her or her children from the poor share. They will say, no. Thus, my son, our son gave you on loan. Thus, they gave you, you see, just for a little while. And all that is haram. Quran Kareem states, chapter number 4, verse number 20-21. وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. When you gave your wives millions and billions, قِنْطَارًا الْأَمْوَالُ الْكَثِيرًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Then nobody can take anything from her. Even 1 cent is haram. أَتَأْخُذُونَهُ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا. What are you taking on that back? And you're causing a slander? You are making a, committing a major big sin. وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَهُ عَلَى سَبِيلِ التَّعَجُّبِ. Allah is saying, it's astonishing, you're a Muslim and you're doing this? And your son had a good time with her? He deflowered her? وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ وَأَخَذْنَ مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. Go read Quran, O Ummah, chapter 4, verses 20, 21, 22, all that, you will find it there. And when marriage, there was a solemn pledge taken. So whatever he gave to the wife is the wife. Whatever he gave to the children is the children. You in-laws can't poke your nose in there. Morally, you should be helping her in her hour of need. Yes, on the other side, I know of some families that their son passed away. Now the wife, the daughter-in-law is there, the children are there. This father-in-law, mother-in-law, so good people. They went and built a special house, comfortable. He said, see, we want you must be happy. And after you eat that, even if you want to get married and resettle, we got no objection. This is the house, is our house. We're giving it to you. We're building it for you. That also we know. So we must do it. Both ways we have to play, you know, the game properly. Not just look at our self-interest and all that. That's not permissible.
Kisab, I would like to find out about permissibility of consuming crayfish and calamari as far as the Hanafi mazhab is concerned.
Only Hanafis ask these questions. They're very hungry, Mawlana Salim. So you must remember that the Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanbalis say that all this are halal. That whether it's your crayfish or calamari or lobster and mussels and what and all that, oysters and Allah knows what and what, you understand? So me, I only eat fish. All these other things, I stay away also. So anyway, so they say permissible. But there's some explanation. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, says, Jami'u ma fil bahri halal. He says, whatever is in the ocean, in the water, is permissible, illa dhifda'. Except the frog. Because the hadith in Abu Dawood, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an qatli divda. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you can't kill frogs. You see that? So you must be careful about that. Second one, Imam Malik says, all in the ocean permissible, but dolphin not permissible. Say, subhanallah, why Malik? He says, Allah said, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالْخِنْزِيرِ. You see what dhamma wal-khinzir and all that. So Allah Ta'ala made haram for you the carrion and the flowing blood and the khinzir, the swine and the pig and all that. So pig, we know is pig, the juttas, you see them, haram is pigs, you see that. But one is khinzirul bahar. Khinzirul bahar is dolphin. So from there, Imam Malik says, dolphin not permissible, other things permissible. And then Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal says, those things that are amphibious, you see that you find them in the water and the land and all that, so that you can't eat and all that, you see. But besides that, all. So anyway, in principle, they say most things are halal and all. Hanafi say on the other side, everything in the ocean you must abstain from, illa samak, except the fish. So they don't speak from their own pockets, you know. When you look at Shafi, Maliki, Hanbali, so they use the Quranic verse also, and other ahadith also they use. Uhilla lakum shaydul bahri wa ta'amuhu mata'an lakum wa lisayyara. So if you look at it, the dalil is very strong of majority scholars, you see that. So it has been made halal for you there in the ocean and all these things there. Swaydul bahri, you see. People go fishing and they catch this and catch. You know, in Durban, you'll know better than me. And the food of the ocean and all. So Surah Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse number 96. Hanafis say, no, we use this hadith. And you will find the hadith there in Ibn Majah, Abu Dawood, Mishkat Sharif and so forth. Uhillat lana ad-daman wal-maytatan. Two blood are halal for us. So which are the two blood? Al-kabidu wa-tihal. Kabid, your kaleji, your liver. And remember, wa-tihal, the spleen. And the two maita, two carrion are halal for you. Al-samaku wal-jarad, the fish. And the jarad, the locust. So it's 100% halal. So the hadith is good also. So anyway, cut long story short. So all these examples you gave, crayfish. When you look at that question, now the name fish is mentioned, but Hanafi say not permissible. It's like, you know, I like ginger beer, you know. So it don't mean this beer, there is just a name. So zanjabil, in Arabic you call ginger. So ginger beer, you see that. One day I was landed in Medina Munawwara. So that guy looked at me, he said, Sheikh, khamar, khamar, you got alcohol, you got beer. I told him, Sheikh, don't make noise for nothing, it's zanjabil. I said, taste it, jarribhu ya Sheikh. He tasted it, Maha Salim, he liked the ginger beer, he took all my ginger beer away. You see that? So they characters, these people. Now you can't tell them anything, they can make your life difficult, you see that? So you must remember these things. So Hanafi say, it must belong to the fish family. Now, when you study properly, then you will find all these examples you gave. Your lobster, your crayfish, your mussels, and what calamari. None of them belong to the fish family. Hence, not permissible according to the Hanafi school. So, Hazrat is your Ustad also, Muhammad Salim Kareem, and my beloved Ustad also, Hazrat Mufti Abdul Salam Sahib Chatgami, you see, from Chatgam in Bangladesh. So, when our students and ulama went there to Cox Bazar, then they went to him also, you see, there when all that trouble was taking place. So Hazrat still remembered me. I cry when I think of this. He said, Amara ek shagir dewa Abdul Qadir, inko ye de dije. So Jawahirul Fatawa, you see that? So 6 volumes or so. And Allah reward the ulama who brought it. And they sent it to me. He said, Mufti Abdul Salam Sahib gave this. So if you want, I know what you guys are thinking now. You've got some experience. You're thinking, what about jinga, prawns and all that? So Mufti Abdul Salam Sahib wrote a wonderful academic article. He says, bilkul jaiz hai. But Mufti Taqi Sahib says, it's not permissible. You see, it doesn't belong in the fish family. So among the Hanafi scholars, there's big difference of opinion. So we will say from taqwa point of view, and that regarding prawns and all that, just stay away. And it's best for you if you're following the Hanafi school.
Mufti Saab, I'm an owner of many properties. A non-Muslim wants to lease my property and he wants to open up a bottle store as well. Is it jayiz for me to lease that property to him?
Almighty Allah gives us the golden maxim and rule. Chapter number 5, verse number 2. وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. You must cooperate in piety and righteousness. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Hypothetically, for argument's sake, you gave your property to the bottle store. You find all the drunkies there, all the drunkards there, all the bad elements there. You gave it to the commercial banks and all this riba is there. There are two industries Islam has condemned from A to Z. One is interest, chapter number 2, and verses 275 to 279. Chapter 2, verses 275 to 279. And you don't listen. You still gave out to these people, money lenders and all these commercial banks and all this, and Islamic banks also, according to us, is not permissible. So all that you leased it out is not permissible. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Then be prepared for a war against Allah Jalla Wala and Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How many verses in the Quran? I read for you one. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه. You see, Allah mentions is gambling. Allah mentions alcohol. All that Allah mentions together. Why? Because people, when they take one sip of champagne, whiskey, and they take daru, chuala, then they get addicted slowly, slowly. Then they can't leave it, you see that? And thereafter, then is all big problem in that family. Chapter 5, Surah Maida, verse 90. Allah says, Ritsum min amali shaitan is napak, is impure, is the handiwork of Satan, shaitan, Lucifer. Fajtanibu, stay away from it. La'allakum tuflihun. Then you will be successful. Now you say, no, I will give my property to ABC, non-Muslim, Tom, Dick and Mary. And for them, you see, they can sell their daru and their all this alcohol business. But your income is tainted and polluted. It's not permissible. Go open Ibn Majah. 10 people are cursed by Allah Jalla Wala regarding alcohol. The one who buys it, the one who sells it, the one who squeezes it, the one who transports it, the one to whom it is transported. The entire industry is haram. Go open Sunan Nasai. Al-Khamru Ummul Khabai, it's Ummul Fawahish. It is the mother of all vices and sins. And go open Muslim Sharif. Al-Khamru Ma Yukhamirul Aqla. It goes and it makes the mind polluted. You see all this Trump and all these haramis, Western world and our Muslim leaders, half of them donkeys also. And they also drink like a fish. All haram it is. Just leave all your so-called fatwas and then go straight to Quran and Sunnah. So haram and not permissible. Gee, last question.
It's a funny question. Is it the right for the husband to spend his wife's money that her family gave her during the honeymoon? He did not use any of his money.
So he's a mufatiya, you must tell him, I said, he's a pakka mufatiya. So now you got married, your name is Zaid, and you got married to Zainab. So now people who are family of Zainab, they gave her gifts and presents and so forth. Now he used all your money in your honeymoon day in Mauritius, Maldives, and wherever you went, Cape Town. He said, my poppy, we see, come settle there. We go Table Mountain, I'll take you in a cable car, but you must pay. So you must remember now, Bichari, she's lady, just got married. She doesn't want argument. So what you did is haram, O Habib. How we know it's haram? He, Habibuna Mustafa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يحل مال امرئ مسلم إلا بطيب قلب منه. It's not halal for another person, Muslim person, to take the wealth of somebody else and without wholeheartedly they give it to you. Your wife didn't give it to you. You just stamping your authority and making big eyes and so forth, intimidating her. So you wife, you must tell him, you spend 10,000, 20,000 of my money. Is wajib and compulsory upon you to reimburse you. Pakka mufatiya is. You must tell him, I said, he as nets was sainakh, nets was a juat. He is so stingy, just like a Jew. A khuya juat as a dwaya juat. A good Jew is a dead Jew. One settler, one bullet. Today is Wednesday, make special dua for Sudan, make special dua for Kashmir and India, make special dua for Gaza and the West Bank, make special dua for us, we are all our sinners, and make dua for our beloved country. Wednesday, after Zuhr to Asr, duas are accepted. Imam Bukhari has mentioned that in his work, Al-Adabul Mufrad, وَصَحَّهَهُ الشَّيْخُ Albani, and Sheikh Albani also said the hadith is sahih. Asim and those characters, Jahil Salafis, they say it's weak hadith. What you going to say about this? Imam Bukhari mentioned it, Albani said it is sahih. So must we take them or take you, Jahils? So therefore you must stay away from the Salafis, the dangerous people. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.